We are blessed with having Gershon Solomon here today and already meeting him this morning, hearing so much about him for such a long time. And my source of knowledge has come through Pastor Chuck. And it was neat to tell Gershon this morning, Chuck loves you and Israel very much. And he says, well, Israel loves Chuck very much. But to just feel the koinonia, the fellowship of the Spirit. And as we are continuing our series through prophecy, in the study of God's Word in relation to the future, Gershon's going to be speaking this morning what the Lord has laid upon his heart concerning the soon coming temple in Jerusalem. And inside your announcements, inside your bulletin, you see there these bulletin inserts. And we want you to read these. And if the Lord should lead you into responding through prayer or through financial support, please pray and see what the Lord would have you do concerning the mission that he's going to be sharing with us this morning. But we are so blessed and honored, and please give a very warm welcome this morning to Gershon Solomon.
Shalom, Boker Tov, good morning to everyone. What you prefer, I will speak Hebrew or English? This is a Bible language, you know, and this is the language which God started to speak to people. And as the Messiah is going to come very soon, start to study Hebrew. Because he will speak Hebrew. So if you want to speak with him directly, do it in Hebrew. I'm very glad to be here with you this morning. I came all the way, a long way, from a place that I believe and I feel that your heart is there. The land of Israel, the promised land, the holy land, and Jerusalem. Our lovely city. Who were in Jerusalem once at least? Can you? Only one. See, you must come to Israel. This is a wonderful land, and I will a little later try to share with you what happens in this land. By the way, the weather and the character of the land is very similar to California. So when I came here Friday, I felt a little at home, not only because of the character of the land, but I stayed with my good friends, Rick and Rose. I spent with them together the Shabbat, and it was a wonderful thing to feel how they made all the efforts to accept me, to give me a feeling that I'm in Jerusalem, my home city, and to keep all the laws as a Jew that I have to keep, especially the kosher. They now know how to do kosher. And I was so excited to know and to feel again and again that we are living really in a special time in the life of people, Jews and Christians special, that God is acting in these special days in the hearts of Israelis, special evangelical Christians. And we are going to expect two big days, I believe, in the close time. In Israel, we are passing now, I believe, deep in my heart, the biggest time in the history of this nation. The Israeli nation is a very old nation, at least 4,000 years. The history of this nation started before 4,000 years, on the first time when God spoke to our first father, today your father, at least your spiritual father, Abraham. And come, please, Rosie, and read from the scriptures what God said to Abraham when he sent him the first time from Babylon to the land which he promised him, and started in this moment a big vision, a very big vision in the history of our nation. I believe in your history in the same time. Please, Rosie.
Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Thank you. In the same moment started a big vision, a big mission of a nation which is carrying this mission 4,000 years, in good times, in bad times, maybe more than both, not in easy times. And don't forget that when Abraham started his mission, this big mission, the biggest in the history of mankind, he was one against all the mankind, which was basically paganic. He was on one side of the river and all the other mankind on the other side. It was not easy to carry such a mission, to come to people, paganic people, basically, and say God is one and his name is one. But this mission, this vision, was and is connected to one place, a small land, very small land, even smaller than California, maybe smaller than the smallest state in the United States, the land of Israel, the promised land, the land which God promised to Abraham. This vision, since it started, is connected to this land. It cannot be carried in any other place, only in the land of Israel. More than this, it is connected to one city, the city which became a focus. Since this day, and especially in our times, the focus of all the earth, Jerusalem. And more than this, to a small hill in the middle of Jerusalem, the Moriah Mountain, the Temple Mount today, the place which God dedicated to be his house. And he said again and again to the people of Israel, "You will build me a house, and I will dwell among you." And it is a wonderful idea, because on one hand, we can ask ourselves, why God need a house, maybe a physical house, in the middle of Jerusalem, on a small hill, when God dwells all over the world, all over the universe, and is in the hearts of everyone which opens his heart to accept him, here in California, in Europe, in the Far East, all over the world, why he needs a house in the middle of Jerusalem to dwell there? And the answer maybe is that we, as humankind being, we need it maybe more than he needed it. One place in the world that we can come and feel and see God closer, closer to our eyes, to our hearts. More than this, maybe even to touch him and be touched by him. And this is a wonderful idea. A wonderful idea. One place in the world that people can come, and as God said in the scriptures, come at least three times a year in the big three festivals to see me and to be seen by me. And this is the idea of the temple in the middle of Jerusalem, the place which became, since the first day when God sent Abraham, basically tested him to sacrifice his son Isaac. And maybe God knew why he is sending Abraham to sacrifice his son on this hill. First of all, to start a long history, a long relationship between the people of Israel and this hill, which is the focus, the heart, and the soul of the Israeli and the Jewish nation, and I believe of all the earth, and spatial, the Christians all over the world. But in the same time when he sent Abraham to this hill to sacrifice his son, he knew that he will not allow him to sacrifice Isaac. But he wanted to warn Abraham how hard will be the way along the history when he will give him the mission to carry to all the nations, to bring the light of God to all the nations. He knew that he and his seed after him will pass not easy experiences in the land of Israel and outside of Israel in the last 2,000 years in the exile. Always a nation, the seed of Abraham, which was surrounded in the land of Israel by so many enemies, which wanted to destroy the godly dream, the godly vision which he gave Abraham and his seed after him, to destroy the land, to destroy the monotheistic faith. And they tried again and again to do it. And these people, this nation, together with God, faced all those experiences and overcome them. But in the same time, so many times we sacrificed our sons, our mothers, our fathers, in the land and especially outside of the land. When the Romans took us in the year 70 AD after the second destruction of the land and the temple, the first was in the year 2586 before the Christian count. Two destructions, terrible destructions. We lost 10 tribes of Israel. And then in the exile of 2,000 years, terrible experiences of pogroms, holocausts, again and again, Isaac and the seed of Abraham were ready to sacrifice themselves for the faith of God and for the land, because when they left the land by force, they took with them in their hearts the land, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which was founded before 3,000 years by King David as the capital of Israel, the capital of God. And we are going to celebrate the next year, 3,000 years anniversary of Jerusalem. 3,000 years of history of a city which a nation never forget. Along 2,000 years of exile, always in our hearts, in our head, in good and in bad. And this gave us a power to overcome a terrible way in the history of the exile, because we had the hope, the vision. God promises that one day we shall come back to the promised land and we shall put again our roots all over the mountains and the valleys of this country, and we shall see again the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and God will come with us back to the country. Because when we were taken by force to the exile, God moved with us. He never left us alone, always with us. Encourage us, be strong, I will with you. In 2,000 years, the country was occupied again and again by so many nations. And the country became like a desert. And when you read the Bible, all the scriptures, especially the Song of Songs, you can have an idea how beautiful was the country always when the people of Israel was there. The colors were green, full of joy, flowers, happy people, happy to worship God on the promised land. But when the people of Israel left by force the country, people and nations which controlled it did not take care for the country. They had not the deep connection of the Israeli nation to this country, and the country became a desert. Instead of green colors, red colors, yellow, one color controlled the country. The color of the desert, a yellow color. Maybe the country dead for a short time, not completely. And since the Israeli people came back to the country, only before 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and every day in the present time, suddenly the country became again full of joy. The colors changed from yellow to green. The beards came together with the Israeli people. And we hear every morning again the wonderful godly music from the beards, from the trees, from the grass. And again, God moved with the Israeli nation back to the country. And He is with them again in the country, in all the meanings. And we can hear His voice on the mountains of Jerusalem, only to open the heart, to listen to Him. He is again in the promised land with His people that He chose to carry the historical mission. And the dry bones, you know the vision of the dry bones of the prophet Ezekiel. The dry bones became again a live body with flesh and blood and skin, exactly as this vision. All the scriptures, all the promises which God promised, became a reality in the land. The prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, is no more a holy scripture in a holy book in the Bible. It is again a reality in the land of Israel. The prophet Isaiah and his spirit is walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Again, we hear in this land, exactly as the prophet promised us, children playing in the streets of Jerusalem. Weddings on the mountains of Jerusalem and the land. New houses every day, another one. The country became again a live country. And let me ask Rick to read before you the vision of the prophet Ezekiel about the dry bones. When he prophesied about the dry bones, he prophesied about the spatial destiny, not the easy destiny, but how the wonderful promises will be fulfilled and become a reality. Please read it.
Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up from your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, I, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord.
Thank you. A wonderful vision, a wonderful fulfillment. And please, Rick, Rose, come, and I want you to read something. And let us today not forget what God promised and fulfilled, because God is great, and his promises 4,000 years, and again to all the prophets, to all the seeds of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's so kind. He fulfilled them. And he's fulfilling them in our time, especially in our time. Let us hear his first big promise, the covenant which he did with Abraham. The covenant which made this vision of Ezekiel a reality. Please read the covenant with Abraham from Genesis 12, 1-3. The first page. You have it.
The first page? No, This.
Please, read it again.
Okay. Now the Lord had said to Abram, Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Thank you. Let us not forget this covenant, because this covenant followed and is going to follow the Israeli nation. And I believe all the earth in the present, exactly as in the future, and spatial, exactly as in the past and spatial in the future. And I came here today to bring you a testimony from this land and tell you that what is going now in this land belongs to you as Americans, evangelical Christians, and maybe special to you. You have the same responsibility as the Israeli nation today, or in the past, or in the future, for the destiny of the Israeli nation, for the destiny of the land, and the deep connection which God put it in our hearts between our lovely God, the God of Israel, your God, the land and the Israeli nation, and through the Israeli nation to the hearts of all the mankind. This is the meaning of the covenant. Those three things, God, the Israeli nation and the land, and the connection of all the mankind through Israel, through the land, to the God of Israel, your God, is eternal. And it is a foundation in the faith of everyone, even in people which don't recognize it today, and they will recognize it in the close future. But you, as evangelical Christians, believers of the Bible, you are familiar to this. You can get it. You can open your hearts to understand it, to share it with us. And one day soon, all the mankind will recognize this basically fact. The deep connection of God, the land, the people of Israel, and all the mankind. And we are now in the land, as I said, in the middle of the biggest time in our history and your history. I will always say our and yours, because it is the same. The time of redemption, end times, the time of the Messiah. We can hear him in the land of Israel knocking on the doors, saying, "Open me the door. I want to walk to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount, to the temple." And it is not a story, it is a reality. I invite every one of you to come and feel it, to see it in his eyes. But in the same time, we are living in Israel, as in all the world, in a critical time. According to the Jewish faith, the Israeli faith, the Messiah will come in three conditions. First, when the most of the Israeli nation, the Jews, will come from all over the world back to the promised land. And it happens. It happened in the last 60, 70, 80 years, and it happens every day. They are coming all over the world, from all over the world, on wings of eagles. And you remember the wonderful scripture from Isaiah, "I will bring you on wings of eagles." And they are coming on wings of eagles. This is the meaning for Ethiopian Jews who maybe never saw an aeroplane. And suddenly one day they came, 50 of them, to pick them up from the jungles of Ethiopia. A lost tribe back to the promised land on wings of eagles. And all the promises and the scriptures became one day a reality. Exactly as God said, "I will say to the north, open the gates, give my sons back." And he did it suddenly. After 80 years, when the gates of Russia, the communist Russia, was closed before anyone, especially the Jews. And suddenly, by the word of God, the gates were opened. And they are coming back, waves after waves, on wings of eagles, to Jerusalem, to Tel Aviv, to Haifa, to the promised land. I'm so happy to live in this time, and you must be happy to live in such a big generation, because you are going to be a part of it. Because God said that the redemption of the Israeli nation and the land of Israel will spread all over the world. to live in such a big generation. You know, 100 generations at least in the exile could only pray, desire, hope to live in such a generation. And our generation is the generation of redemption. Few years after the terrible Holocaust in Europe, when the Jewish nation lost 6 million in the crematoriums of the Germans and the Nazis, 1.5 million children, babies, which still did not understand the meaning of life, were killed in terrible ways by them. And now the seed of them, the dead bodies, exactly as the prophet Ezekiel said, became full of life. They know how to fight for the God of Israel. They almost forgot how to do it. They were taken in the exile like lambs to be killed. And suddenly they decided in the name of God that no more. But another important thing became a reality. God, your God, the God of Israel, became again. You know what he became again? He became again the general of the Israeli army, the commander of the Israeli army. In the last 50 years, the enemies of Israel and God, 22 Arab nations, tried to destroy the big dream of God. And every big vision starts with a dream. And we are dreamers, but in the same time, we try to be realistic. I can imagine that God is also a big dreamer. Very big dreamer. But he is doing all his dreams a reality, a practical vision. And this is the point we decided when God brought us back to the country, to be practical. To help God. He don't need our help. But he likes when the people of Israel is cooperate with him. And once our young boys decided to sacrifice their life, everything that they have for God, for his land which he chose, for the vision which he gave Abraham, God cooperated with them and he defeated again and again our enemies. And my message here today is to the enemies of Israel and in the same time to friends of Israel that only God, only he controls the destiny of Israel. Not Arafat and not Saddam Hussein and not Assad, and forgive me, even not your president that I respect him because he's your president, which today became involved in a terrible, negative, false process which he and the enemies of Israel calls it peace process. And I want to say to Clinton, don't try to take parts of the land which God promised to the people of Israel. This land was chosen by God to be his house. And he gave it to the people of Israel in one condition, to keep the land and to keep the mission which he gave them. No generation in the past, in the present, in the future has a permission to take even 1 inch from this land which God chose, the only land in the world, and to give it to anyone in special, to our enemies. And they want even Jerusalem to make their capital, a city which was founded by the order of God, by His commitment, before 3,000 years. Not only to be the capital of Israel, the eternal capital, which we shall never give up, but to me, to be more than this, the city of the Messiah, our common Messiah, that one day all the mankind will recognize how we need Him, especially in this materialistic time, terrible time. All over the world, and especially you as Americans, you suffer from this terrible time. You believers, the same as we in Israel, more than any time in the past, we need to be redeemed. We need the kingdom of the Messiah. And He will do it. Forgive me again. Not from the building of the UN in New York, but from a small hill in the middle of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. Only on this hill. And let me tell you, this is really a critical time. I have not enough time to share with you many things that are in my heart today. But let me tell you a few things. And they put the clock in my eyes. And he's running forwards, always. So, I will go on. Don't worry. Yes. But I need more than 15 minutes. I believe deep in my heart that this critical time is maybe one of the big signs that the Messiah is going to come very soon. And I remember what my father told me before he died, and he was a holy man. And he told me, I am going to die, I will not see the Messiah. Thanks to God that they gave me the privilege to see such big events, the foundation of the state of Israel, the big wins in 7 wars when God and the Israeli army defeated all the enemies, the coming back of the Israeli nation every day from all the corners of the exile, the rebuilding of the state, the houses, the settlements, in places which, unfortunately, I'm so sad to say that your president, this and the former, called them occupied territories, which means that the Israeli nation occupied foreign territories. The land which God gave to this nation in Judea, Samaria, in Gaza, on the Golan Heights, in Sinai, in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, they are occupied territories of the land of God which He gave forever to the Israeli nation. And open your Bible. Try to find the name Palestine. Before I came here, I tried again and again. Maybe I mistake. And I read again and again the covenant which God made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and the prophets, and King David. Maybe between the words, there is again Maybe I missed the word Palestine. I did not find. And you must know that the name Palestine, you read every day in the newspapers. The main enemy of Israel today, which unfortunately, the government of Israel, and we have a government which is not fitting to this big time, unfortunately. Because this is time of redemption. We need a leadership, exactly as you, of vision, of faith, but special, a biblical leadership, which is ready and dedicated and has a devotion to fulfill the scriptures, to be messengers of God. And they are making a new covenant with the most cruel enemies of Israel, giving them parts of the land, mainly the most important parts of the land where the Bible was created, the land of Judea, Sumeria, and Gaza, and the Golan Heights, and Sinai, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the land where God spoke to all the prophets, and our roots is there, deep in the ground. They are going to give them this land, and they call it peaceful land. Which peace is it? False peace, a denying of God and His covenant. A terrible sin, which means that they don't believe in God promised what He promised before 4,000 years and again. They are not ready to fulfill the covenant with Abraham and to give it to Palestinians, which are anti-God, anti the covenant of God. Because this name was given by the Romans to the land of Israel when they destroyed the land in the year 70 AD to deny the name of the land. And this is the only land in the world which is called on the name of God, Israel. Israel is the name of God. And they gave the name Palestine to the land to deny. They were paganic worshippers. And they called Aya Capitolina to Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Aya Capitolina. And our enemies now, they call themselves Palestinians. Again, a denying of God, His covenant, His presence in this land. But let me tell you, you remember what God put in the heart of Moses, and then in the heart of Matityahu, the Maccabee, later, when they gave the call to all the nation, who is with God will come with me. And this is the call that I carry with me, in the land of Israel and here. Who is with God will come with me. When I say me, I mean with God. And in this critical time, we, the Temple Mount faithful, and the land of Israel faithful, we are completely dedicated to God and His covenant. We are ready to sacrifice everything in our life for this covenant. We have the privilege to live in this time, and we are dedicated, and we decided to bring the Messiah in our time of life. And He will not come alone. In the 6 days war, which was maybe one or maybe the biggest moment in the life of the Israeli nation, when God brought us back to those areas, to Judea, Sumeria, and Gaza, and Sinai, and the Golan, and special to the Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. This was the biggest moment. And a new page in our history was opened. And God gave me the privilege. A privilege because I was wounded a short time before this on the Golan Heights in the northern borders of Israel. When I was a commander, a young officer of a small Israeli unit. And one day, we were surrounded by thousands of Syrians, Arabs, trying to take revenge and kill me special. Later, after the 6 days war, they put me again in the top of the hitness list. And they tried to kill me in this day, 7 hours of battle. And this was the moment when God spoke to my heart. When I was wounded terribly. And I felt that in 1 or 2 moments I am going to die. And I said what an Israeli and a Jewish saying before is going to die. Let me say it here. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Can you translate it, Rick, please? Listen, Israel. Our God is one. And His name is one. And suddenly happened a big event in my life, which is maybe typical to Israel in this time, in this big time and critical time. When after 7 hours, when I was wounded terribly and laid in the field of battle, suddenly they dared to come from the mountains down, hundreds of Syrians. The others remained on the mountains. Surrounded me when they saw that I lay wounded in the field of battle. And they thought that my power, dead together with me, they surrounded me. And I hear that they are putting the bullets in the gun, ready to shoot me, to fire me. And suddenly happened a big thing. With no reason, as it looked in the same moment, suddenly they left me. They turned back and started to run quickly back to the mountains. And then suddenly in the same moment, I saw the light of God in my heart. And I heard in voice, the voice of God speaking to my heart. Don't be afraid, Gershon. I am with you. You will not die. I dedicated you to fulfill a big mission in your life. Be strong. The enemies will not touch you even. And suddenly came the other angels, the Israeli soldiers, and picked me up and took me to the hospital. And when I was brought into the hospital, the doctor said, this guy is not going to live more than a few hours. But I lived. 24 hours, and another 24 hours, and another, and another, and another. And after 2 weeks, came the observers of the UN in this area. Wonderful people from Dutch. And they told me, we came to visit you, but special to tell you a big thing. And they told me, we spoke with the Syrian officers. And we asked them, why you left this officer in life when you had a chance to take your revenge and kill him? Why you did it? What happened? You were alone. He was one. And they answered, we are ready to fight against every soldier, maybe including against Israeli soldiers. But we are not ready to fight against angels of God. And this man was surrounded by angels of God. And it happened again and again in the history of the battles of Israel. I have no time to share with you all the wonderful stories of the appearance of God in the middle of the battles when he was the biggest fighter for the Israeli nation in small battles, in big battles. But before I want to finish, the time is 9 o'clock. You will add me 2 or 3 minutes, Pastor? Thank you. God gave me the privilege to be in the 6 days war, which break a short time after this. And then I understood what is the mission that he gave me in my life. When I volunteered to my unit, the unit of parachutes, and suddenly, in the fourth day, after a terrible battle, 170 young Israeli soldiers were sacrificed for the liberation of the Temple Mount. And we found ourselves suddenly on the Temple Mount, running like crazy people to one point, to the rock of Abraham and Isaac, a small rock in the middle of the Temple Mount, today occupied by the Arabs under the Dome of the rock which is and was and will be the focus of Israel and all the earth, the place of the house of God. And we came like crazy people, so excited, to this rock and started to cry. The heroes of one moment before cried like broken people because we stood before God and his house. And we cried, and near me were Israeli soldiers, few of them atheistic, which were raised in atheistic kibbutzim or villages in Israel. And they cried also, and I asked them, why you are crying? And they answered, and this was the second big miracle. On the first time in our life, we heard the voice of the God of Israel speaking to us. On the first time, we understood the destiny of Israel and the deep connection between God and Israel and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. But a short time after this, again, a government which was not fit to the big time gave back the keys of the Temple Mount after it was liberated. And they ran away from this place because it was not and it is not holy for them. And it was never in the past. Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and the land is even not mentioned one time in their holy book, the Quran of the Arabs. For them it is a center, a political center, to try from it to destroy the land of Israel from the house of God. And Moshe Dayan, the defense minister of Israel and the government, maybe a big moment met, I'm sorry to say it, a small leadership, and they gave back the keys of the Temple Mount to the enemies of yesterday and tomorrow. They called them to take it. And it became a center not of love, but a center of violence, hitness. And we are dedicated, as I told you, to re-liberate the place for the honor of God, to rebuild the third temple. Because this place, and please, when you are going home, open the scriptures and try to think, is a key place in the life of Israel and all the mankind. Not we choose this place, this small hill. Not we choose the land. Not we sign the borders of the land. All those things were done by God forever. He chose this hill to be his house. And how can we live in our houses in this time, in peaceful, when the house of God is destroyed, is under destruction, controlled by enemies of God and Israel? We need the temple today more than any other time because it is a condition for the coming of the Messiah. It is a condition of a new life, godly life, in our generation, all over the world. I have no time to explain it to you more, but as believers, try to open your hearts and get it deep in your hearts through the scriptures, through your love to God, And the Messiah will not come until we shall re-liberate the Temple Mount, the house of God, and rebuild the temple, and open the gates of the Temple Mount before his Messiah, the seed of King David, which will be the King of Jerusalem and the land of Israel and all over the world. And will bring again joy in our life, and he will make all the mankind one big family, the family of God. So I ask you, give your hands, your shoulders, your hearts for this big goal. We are trying to do the best in Israel to make this revolution special in the hearts of the leadership. And the last things that I can tell you today in this short time as Americans. Don't think that as Americans, yes, you can live in peace far from the land of Israel, as long that the house of God is under abomination and desecration. Don't think that you can live in peace and leave the people of Israel to make alone the war of God in his land, in his house. You have to be a part of it. I believe deep in my heart that God dedicated America to be a friend of the people which God chose, the people of Israel. A close friend. More than this, to carry together this goal in this critical time. Your presidents don't understand it. When you created this state, you created it on the foundation of the vision of the prophets, of the foundation of the Bible. And you are the only nation in the world which wrote on your money. Money in our time, I think that we have to run away from it. But you wrote on this materialistic paper, "In God we trust." So don't forget, you as Americans, the American people, that you swore to trust in God, which means to fulfill together with Israel this covenant. And you can see along the almost 50 years of relations between America and Israel that if we want or not, we must be friends and carry together this mission. You need, maybe more than any other nation in the world, a spiritual, godly revolution in the life of your nation to cancel the abortions, the homosexual of life, the dancing around the golden idol in New York, in San Francisco, in other places, to bring the kingdom of God to this wonderful country which God gave you. America cannot be a physical, materialistic power. And don't forget that big materialistic powers pass from the world quickly when they forgot who gave them the power. So God gave you the privilege exactly as he gave our nation. Let us together give hands and walk together, not to let the enemies of God to destroy the big dream which God started to fulfill in this land, in the land of Israel, not to allow them to destroy the big godly dream to be spread all over the world. Let us together walk in this wonderful way and process, and to bring our common God to this earth and his kingdom to our hearts, houses, and states. Thank you so much, and may God bless you. It is so wonderful to have you. You know what? I thought that I'm coming here to encourage you. Thank you. You encourage me. And I feel your pure heart. And thank you for this. And we want you to share with us in the coming time, and I believe that the Messiah is going to come in a short time. In your life, in my life, in our life, he's going to come to Jerusalem again. Maybe the next year he will come and speak here. So, you have the brochure. In the brochure, you have a card. Please fill all your details on this card. Your names, your phone numbers, the address. Don't forget to write the phone number, because we want to do two things. First, to put you on our mailing list and to share with you everything which is happening in Israel, and especially what we are doing for making this day a soon reality. But we need your phones also, because, as I said, the Messiah is going to come, and when he will come, we shall make you a call. Come quickly. And you prepare the tickets. Prepare it from now, because time is short. Okay? And leave those cards. We shall take them to Jerusalem. And your name will be not only on our hearts, but on our mailing list. We shall together we shall act for what God dedicated us, you, I, and my friends, in this big and critical time. Thank you. I love you. The people of Israel love you so much. May God bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, and Father, we pray, trusting, Lord, as your word has declared, that the peace of the Lord will surround Jerusalem like the mountains surround Jerusalem. We pray now, Lord, as David declared, that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the welfare of that great nation. We pray, Father, and we know your word, Israel shall never be displaced from the land that you have brought her to, Lord, on that day, in a day, as Jeremiah said, in a day, May 14th, 1948. And Father, we just trust and lean wholly upon thy precious word. In your most holy name we pray. And we commit Gershon into your hands and to your keeping, as you alone are faithful to perform all that you have declared, the end from the beginning, that we might know that you are he, the one who inhabits the praises of Israel. In your precious and awesome name, amen. God bless you.